ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What is Australia's richest literary prize? Well, I suspect many of you will probably think, oh, that's the Miles Franklin Award. And, yeah, it's not insignificant, a $60,000 prize to the awardee. But no, there is a bigger player on the block. The biggest award now is for writers in the historical literature genre. The ARA Historical Novel Prize has now been upped with a 50% increase in the prize money for the award, placing it as the richest individual literary prize in Australia, indeed in Australasia, at a total of $150,000. Well, with us to explain what's involved, we have Elizabeth Storrs, Chair of the Historical Novel Society of Australasia. Elizabeth, good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having us here.
Lovely to have you with us too. And also joining us is Edward Federman, who's the Executive Chair and CEO of the ARA Group. And they sponsor the prize. I mean, they've put up the dough, I presume, motivated by Edward's own love of historical novels. Edward, great to have you in here as well.
Thank you for having me.
Good on you. Welcome to you both. Elizabeth, it's a wonderfully rich field. What qualifies as an historical novel anyway? Are there rules?
There are certainly rules for the purpose of this contest. So it's a novel that is set more than 50 years in the past.
Uh-huh.
But we have subgenres. So there are historical mystery, historical romance, historical fantasy, and also multi-time novels and parallel narratives. That means novels that spread across different eras. And as long as the book has the majority of the narrative set 50 years in the past, then it's historical fiction.
Okay. I mean, the thing about an historical novel is that it is based or reflective of events, isn't it?
Definitely.
That actually did occur. But the characters are usually invented. They're fictional characters.
Not necessarily. There's biographical historical fiction, which is, you know, I used to call it Tudorphilia. Mm. That was, you know, where they loved writing about Henry VIII and his wives.
Of course.
But then you also have imaginative characters that are set in real historical.
So if I wanted to write a novel about convict Tasmania, for example, that was just set in that era with no reference to actual people at all.
Yes, that's historical fiction.
That's historical fiction for us. So it just has to be set in the past.
Exactly.
Hmm. It has been running for a while, for what, since 2020?
2020 was our inaugural year, and we're up to our fifth year.
Hey, who's won? I bet you Tom Keneally's won in the past.
He has, and I can tell you that year he was up against Geraldine Brooks.
Hey.
So it was a rich field, and we've also had Mirandi Rewo win the first award, and then Jock Sarong, and last year was Gail Jones. That was in the adult. In the CYA, children and young adult, we had Katrina Nanastad. She was 2 years in a row, and Amelia Mellor.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Edward, tell me about this, your passion for books and writing, and why historical fiction is the one you decided to get involved with.
Well, fortunately, growing up, there were always books in our house as a kid. And I grew up in southeastern Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but I've been in Australia now 34 years.
Yeah.
And we always had books to read, and my mother was a school teacher, and so she was always reading, and we just followed the act, and but fell in love with reading. And always, when I was young, we didn't have libraries. The bookmobile came to school, and that was always the best time of the week.
Mm.
And from the historical novels or historical genre, I was a history major as an undergraduate, and just have always loved history and love reading about history.
Mm. Well, you grew up in a rich birthplace of American history, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Is that a favorite of yours? I'm trying to think of places you want to locate yourself in.
Not necessarily, no. I want to learn about lots of different things. Mm. And but as a kid, growing up, although older than Australia, but far younger than...
With the American Revolution.
It was, and yes. And we often went to walk the Freedom Trail in Boston as a kid, and... Mm. Yeah.
That's a wonderful walk, isn't it, the Freedom Trail in Boston? I don't know whether you've ever done it, but it's you walk around, particularly when you walk up to Bunker Hill and read about Bunker Hill and read about actually what happened.
Yes.
It was a remarkable military victory, wasn't it?
It was,
well, yes. Well, would you describe the local inhabitants on Bunker Hill as military? Probably not, but the British certainly thought they were. Thought they'd have breakfast and get this done pretty quickly. Didn't happen. Didn't work out that way, did it?
No, the American revolutionaries were a ragtag bunch of farmers, and that's all they were.
Mm. Yeah, Elizabeth, they're rich sources of fiction because you've got these events which have ready-made drama. Is that it?
Oh, definitely. It's and what's important about historical fiction too is it takes the events of the past. It illuminates that, but it also shines a light on the present. The best historical fiction will pick up themes. It'll look at history repeating, I guess, and it entertains and enlightens you at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's right. I always think there's care needs to be taken here because, you know, who were these people? And do you think people who write historical fiction have a responsibility to try and get it right?
Yeah, they do. Serious historical novelists really research very carefully, and they do want to get it right. However, they can't. It's not like writing a history. It's showing the telling detail. And it's reading between the lines. So an historical novelist can go into the conversations, imagine the conversations, which a history book won't give to you.
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm thinking, I don't know whether, Ed, you've read A Team of Rivals. It's a marvellous book about America, in particular about Lincoln. And it's set at the time of Lincoln's decision to eventually move against slavery. He wasn't necessarily going to do that at the beginning, but it's a marvelous story of how Lincoln came to power and kept power and wielded it. And I'm thinking, if you're writing historical fiction, you've got a responsibility, don't you, to reflect that very complicated character, that his motivations were. He wasn't the man who was born to, you know, release slaves from their bondage. He came to this through political decisions, and in a sense, that makes for a different, rounded and richer character.
In that book, it showed him to be the ultimate politician.
Totally,
yeah, it's
totally.
A good book.
Yeah, absolute horse trader.
Yes,
absolute horse trader. That's right. He was buying off politicians, wasn't he? He was saying, okay, what about this? I'll give you this if I can have your vote. Yeah, it's what's your favorite, Ed? Do you in terms of an historical novel?
Well, I remember as a kid reading Ivanhoe, and just taking as a reader, taking you back to a time and place, and that's for me the enjoyment of reading historical fiction. But I always remember that, and there's no particular time in place that is more interesting to me than another. Is it a good story? Is it something that I can learn from? And that's where I get my enjoyment.
Mm. What's most important is the importance of the recreation of the place, as it were, to give you a sense of what it was, or is it the rollicking good yarn that these things often are?
I like to think it's a combination of both. Mm. Yes.
Mm. What about for you, Elizabeth?
Well, I was inspired. I'm a historical novelist myself, so I was inspired by Mary Renault and the Alexander trilogy. I love ancient history, but my other favourite is Margaret Atwood, alias Grace. I just think that's an extraordinary psychological thriller as much as an historical novel.
Yes, what about time-shifted books? Does it qualify
Outlander.
Outlander. Because that's very popular these days.
It's very popular.
But to qualify for this prize, we can't time-shift?
No, you can time-shift. Yeah, time-slip, they call it. I didn't mention that earlier.
It's philanthropy, it's not as common in Australia as it is in the United States. You probably discovered this.
I have. I guess my interest and my belief that we have an obligation, I think both as individuals and as for-profit organizations, to give back to the communities where we live and work, came from my upbringing. My folks, we never had a whole lot, but I always saw them writing checks for $10 here and $15 here, and it was beaten into us that we have an obligation. And even in graduate school, studying business in the late 1970s, social responsibility was a very important theme, and it just resonated with me, combined with my upbringing And I brought that to with me here with our company. And as we've grown and become more profitable, we do more and more. And on an annual basis, we're donating almost $3 million to the community.
Okay. Because you're big sponsors of the Melbourne and Sydney Writers Festival.
We are, amongst many other organizations. We're a principal partner at the Story Factory, at the Monkey Bar Theatre, at NIDA. Hmm. We're a crown sponsor at the Taronga Zoo.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. I mean, good on you.
Thank you.
Good on for what you do. Have you ever tried to write yourself in?
A little bit. How'd you go? Well, I'm not going to let anybody else judge that. I'll keep that to myself. I enjoy it. I enjoy writing. I enjoy reading. And came up from, as an undergraduate student, I enjoyed it.
Mm. I think people probably feel, don't they, Elizabeth, that this has got to be an easier form of fiction to write.
Yeah,
do they? Because after all, all the world has been invented, and you simply have to colour it in.
Well, they might think that, but the fact that you've got to add research to the writing process, it's actually a very time-consuming and exacting genre to write in.
Mm. Yeah, have you ever come across when you're trying to write problems that you discover actually this character's deeply flawed? I didn't really want the character to be deeply flawed.
Oh, definitely. But that makes it so much more interesting. The more you research sometimes and place them into the predicaments of the time, you then have to have their response to what's going on around them, and they can be very flawed.
Yes, and the imaginative task can be. I read a marvellous book last year called Tongalongata, which is a novel about an indigenous Tasmanian. And, of course, nothing is known about this person at all. It was one of the last remaining people collected by Robinson and put on Flinders Island. But we don't know anything about him at all, really. And the entire palette has to be coloured in completely.
Well, interestingly, Jock Sarong, who won in 2021 and also was shortlisted last year, he wrote the Furno trilogy, which is set in those islands, in Flinders Islands. Flinders Island. So he had to struggle and grapple with that issue of imagining First Nations.
Yeah.
And he had
pretty
to.
Pretty tough.
It was very tough, and he consulted very carefully.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Anyway, if you want to, if you've never read historical fiction, I recommend you my recommendation. I think you should start with Patrick O'Brien, don't you? Master and Commander. I think there are about 20 books in this series, but you can consume them at a good clip, like his ship, the Surprise, filled with a strong wind.
And then you can watch Russell Crowe in the movie.
He's terrific in that movie, actually. Anyway, details of the prize. It encompasses two categories. There's the adult prize. The winner receives, what is it? Well, you tell me, Elizabeth.
So the winner of the adult category wins $100,000.
Hey.
The two shortlisters receive $5,000 each. The CYA receives $30,000 as the winner and $5,000 each to the shortlisters.
Okay. It can mean a lot to a writer, can't it?
It's life-changing. This award is going to be life-changing.
It's life-changing,
And we actually interviewed Amelia Mellor, who won the CYA, and winning $30,000, and that's exactly what she said. It's made a huge difference to her writing life.
Yeah. Fantastic. So what's the timing for those who want to enter?
They've got until the 12th of June. To enter, and their books must be have been published between the 1st of July 2023 and 30 June 2020.
So in this current financial year.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, there you are. Details, historical fiction writers, get to it. I mean, it's probably a bit late for this year's award, but if you get your book ready, it could be good for next year.
That's right, and if they want to find out details, it's www.hnsa.org.au.
And HNSA, this is the Historical
Novel Society Australasia.org.au.
.org.au, yeah.
And many thanks to the ARA group and Edward.
What they've done.
Yeah.
Well, Ed, yes, no, hats off to you. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you again.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.